We're turning in God's Word this morning, of Luke. Luke 18. It's page 877 if you're using the Bible in the pew. We have a very brief reading of God's Word this morning. An incident in Jesus' ministry as he continued on his way towards Jerusalem. And those who knew and loved him brought their children to him. A very sweet glimpse into the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll be reading from verse 15 to 17 of Luke chapter 18. And I'll ask if you're able that you'll stand as we together worship the true and living God who speaks to us in his word. Luke 18, beginning at verse 15. Now, they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Amen. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would forgive all our faults and offenses and illuminate us by your Holy Spirit to have the true understanding of your holy word. May we handle it, both in preaching and in hearing, purely and faithfully for the glory of your name, for the edification of the church, and for our own salvation. We ask this in the name of your only Son. Amen. You may be seated. One of the privileges that I have as pastor in this congregation is preaching to many people who are under 4 feet tall. We're very blessed to have many children in our congregation, and we're very glad to see you in worship week by week. And coming to this text gives me an opportunity, I think, to especially focus my preaching towards you. Sometimes there are sermons that are especially useful for certain parts of the congregation. Should be relevant to everyone all the time in some way, but there may be a special benefit for some part of the church that's worth emphasizing. And I think this text is especially a valuable opportunity for me to address you who are, say, under 18. You're not under 4 feet tall necessarily if you're under 18, but maybe especially the very little children among us. And I'm hoping to preach to you today. So if I'm going to preach to you, maybe I could have your help and do whatever you can to make sure you're listening to me, and this will work well. Because this passage of Scripture tells us about how Jesus thinks about young children. And it's a very wonderful thing for us to see. The first thing we see about these children is they had good parents who loved them. I know just from my knowledge of the families in this church that if you're a child here, that you can say the same thing. You have parents who love you and want the very best for you. Sometimes they're not able to give you everything you want, but they want to give you the best. And so they give you the best food. They give you the best clothes. They give you the best schooling, maybe, or the best opportunities for different activities. They want you to have the best friends. They want you to have the best opportunities in life because they love you. And that's something you should be thankful for. The parents in this passage that we meet, they loved their children very much too, and they wanted the best for them. So what did they do? They brought their kids to Jesus. That's the very best these parents could desire for their children, that their children would have the opportunity to meet Jesus, and especially that Jesus would touch them. What that means is these moms and dads wanted Jesus to bless their children. They wanted him to save them. Jesus touching people was the way that he would bless particular people while he was in his earthly ministry, and the way he would heal their bodies, and the way he would sometimes change their whole lives. He would touch them. And these moms and dads, because they loved their kids so much, they said, the most important thing for my kids is that I would bring them to Jesus so that he would touch them. And in touching them, bless them. And in blessing them, change their whole life. That's what these parents wanted for their boys and girls. Maybe you're wondering, why is that so important? Why do I need Jesus' blessing more than anything else? Maybe there are other things you think you need. Maybe you have a long list of things you want for your birthday or for Christmas or some other occasion, things that you would like to have. Maybe those are toys or clothes, or maybe they're pencils or things to use in school, or maybe they're something else. But nowhere on your list is Jesus. Now, that's okay. Those lists are usually focused on things that you'd like as a gift. But do you know that more than anything else on your list that you would like, you need Jesus? That's what this text is showing us, that these kids needed Jesus more than anything else. Now, let me tell you why. First of all, because Jesus can help with the biggest problems. You know, no matter what else you get, it can only help with little things. Your teachers can only help you with learning how to add and subtract and learning how to read and write. They can't help you with everything. Your parents can only help you with some things. They can help you with a lot, but they can't help you with the biggest things that you need, the biggest problems you have. Do you know what the biggest problem you have, kids? Think about that for a minute. What's the very biggest problem you have? Well, the biggest problem you have is a very small word, but a very big problem. The problem is sin. Think about that. Have you ever sinned? I know that you have. You've disobeyed your parents. You've been unkind to your friends and your brothers and sisters. You have been proud and rebellious. You have told lies. You've taken things that don't belong to you. You have spoken bad words. You've done a lot of bad things. You've done a lot of sins in your life. And that's your biggest problem. Because do you know what sin deserves? Sin, God says, deserves death. And that's your biggest problem. And all the other things you might have in life can make life a little more fun or interesting. They can help you get a good job later. They can help you with many things. But nothing other than Jesus can help you with the biggest problem that you have, that you're a sinner, and because you're a sinner, you deserve to die. But Jesus can help with that. Because Jesus came to live in this world so that we could live through him. He came to die on the cross so that we, because of our sin, wouldn't have to die. And he came to rise again so that instead of the sinful life we have now, we could live a life of righteousness that never ends. And all of that can be yours if you come to Jesus and he blesses you. That's the biggest problem. So that's why you need Jesus. The other thing is that Jesus can help with problems that are on the inside. Is really a similar point. Jesus can touch and bless our lives in ways that change not just our outward parts, but our inward parts. Your parents, they can help you get new clothes, right? Your teacher can help you learn how to do something. Your friends, they can maybe show you a thing or two on the park or the playground or a video game. But only one person can help you with problems that are inside your heart. Only one person can take you from being someone who loves to sin and instead make you someone who loves to do what's right. Only one person can take you from being someone who's sad and angry and mean and unkind and change you into someone who's full of love and kindness and happiness. Jesus can help you with problems on the inside. And the other thing is that Jesus can help forever. Do you know that? If you get a nice meal at a restaurant, how long does that help you for? You're hungry again in just a few hours. Some of you are hungry in just a few minutes. I have kids like that. You fill them up with food, and just a few minutes later, I'm hungry, I need a snack. Maybe you're like that. If you're growing a lot, you need to eat a lot. Or maybe you need to go to the doctor because you're sick, but I guarantee it won't be maybe 6 months or a year before you're sick again. Other people can only help for a short time. But Jesus can help for your whole life. And when you get older, you'll find that you still need a lot of help. And you still need someone to change your heart on the inside. And you still need someone to take away your sins. That's not just a problem when you're little. And if you have Jesus' blessing, he can bless you for your whole life. And even longer than that, because Jesus promises that everyone who trusts in him and receives his blessing, when they die and their body is buried in the ground, that even then he can keep helping them, because one day Jesus will come back and he'll raise your body from the grave. He'll give you a much nicer, better body that never gets sick and never has a problem, and you'll use that body to serve and worship him forever. That is why you need Jesus more than anything else. Not a single other thing and not a single other person in the whole world can help you with such big problems, such inside problems, and for such a long time. So you need Jesus more than anything else in the whole world. Maybe, kids, you're wondering, okay, so I need Jesus, but how can I have Jesus' blessing? Well, we learn in this passage about how you can have Jesus' blessing. First, a couple ways that are not the right answer to that question. You don't have Jesus' blessing just because you know about him. The parents in this passage did not just tell their children, "Kids, do you know there's a wonderful person named Jesus nearby? Here's what he's like." They also brought the children to Jesus. Because what the kids needed was not just to know some things about Jesus, they needed Jesus himself to bless them. And you might think, well, I'm a Christian. I know a lot about the Bible. I know that Jesus is God. I know that he died on the cross for my sins. I know he was raised again on the third day. I know he's going to come back and bring us to heaven. But do you actually love Jesus, or do you just know about him? You see the problem? There are lots of people who know about Jesus, but they don't love Jesus. And the only way you can have Jesus' blessing yourself is not just to know lots of things about him, but actually to know him as your friend and your Savior and love him and know that he loves you. The other thing is that you don't have Jesus' blessing just by belonging to a Christian family and a church. Now, this passage, this story about Jesus welcoming these children, shows us the amazing blessing that it is of belonging to a Christian family and a church right from the youngest years of your life. These kids, they were just little babies, some of them. They were bringing even infants. Even the youngest members of the Israelite people were brought to the Lord Jesus for his blessing. It's good to have parents like that, isn't it? It's good to have parents who taught you how to pray, even when you were just learning how to speak. It's good to have parents who brought you to church from your earliest days. It's good to have parents who read to you from the Bible every night before bed or at some other time so that they would make sure that you knew about Jesus and would have his blessing. But as you grow up, you have to not only be part of your family and part of your church, you need to be Jesus' disciple too. That's the way you have his blessing. So while those are both great advantages and great blessings, knowing about Jesus and belonging to Jesus' people, you also need this. You need to come to him yourself. Now, in this passage, we don't get the full explanation. But listen to what Jesus says. Let the children come to me. Now, some of these children were just infants, and they couldn't walk, and they couldn't go to Jesus on their own. They maybe could crawl, but their parents had to bring them. Most of these kids probably couldn't walk the whole way to Jesus. Their parents probably had to help them get to Jesus somehow. But when Jesus speaks to his disciples about the children, he doesn't say just, let the parents bring the children. He says, let the children come. And while it's a great blessing for your parents to bring you to church, to read the Bible with you, to teach you how to pray, to tell you about Jesus, for you to belong to a Christian family and a Christian church as a child, Jesus also wants you to come to him. Maybe you can't come in a very important way. Maybe you don't know, you're very little, and you're going to come to Jesus just in your simple way. That's fine. But you come to him. How do you come to him? Well, you put your trust in him. You ask him to save you from your sin. You tell him that you love him. And then you live for him. Coming to him is the way that you have his blessing. So that's how you can have Jesus' blessing. And you say, well, okay, I understand, Pastor, that I need to come to Jesus to have his blessing. I can't just come to church and I can't just be part of my family. I have to come to Jesus. But how do I do that? I want to come to Jesus, but I want to know what to do. Well, let me give you a bit of advice. The first thing that you can do to come to Jesus is you can hear him speak. You can hear him speak. Where do you hear Jesus speak? Well, you hear him speak to you in the Bible. Do you know that's what the Bible is? It's not just a book that somebody wrote about God. It's actually a book God wrote through people so that he could speak to you because he loves you and he wants you to know about him. And one of the most important ways for you to come to Jesus, right from the earliest part of your life all the way through the rest of your life, is to either read the Bible or ask someone to read the Bible to you. Hear what God says to you, believe what he tells you, and obey what he tells you to do. That's how you come to Jesus. The second thing you can do is you can speak to him. Let the children come to me, Jesus says, and I think we should imagine the Lord Jesus welcoming those children to sit with him and talk with him. And he would speak to them, and they would speak to him, and they would get to know each other. And he would bless them with his touch. And so, kids, I hope that you're already learning how to pray. If you're not already learning, maybe ask someone to help you learn how to pray, because that's how you can come to Jesus. You can tell him, I love you, Jesus. You can ask him to forgive your sins. You can ask him to give you a new heart so that you'll stop sinning and start doing what's right. You can ask him to take care of you and your family and to help your friends to know about Jesus so that they can be Christians too. You can pray to him. That's one way that you come to him. And a third one is you can worship him. This is especially good news because here you are in a worship service, kids. Do you know that's what you're doing right now? You're worshiping the Lord Jesus. And you can do that just by sitting there watching other people. But I hope that you're learning how to participate and worship along with everyone else. You can sing really loud. Do any of you kids like to sing? I know that some people do because I hear them sometimes. They're singing all sorts of different things in different times. And I know parents, I can see some of you smiling because you know that your kids love to sing. Please sing along really loud as much as you can. Especially if you know the words to some of the hymns that we sing. That's one way that you can worship the Lord Jesus that will really be a blessing both to others, and it'll also be a way that you come to Jesus for blessing in your own life. The other thing you can do is that when someone up here at the front, like me, is praying, you can pray too. That's what you should be doing when we're praying together. You should be listening to what we're praying, and you should be telling the Lord that you also want these things, and you also want to say thank you for the same things, and you also want to pray. But you know, one of the most important ways that you can worship Jesus is actually by listening carefully to the sermon. This is really important. And there's a lot of things we could talk about here, but let me just say one thing to help you listen carefully to the sermon. Where should your eyes be when you're listening carefully to someone? Do you look over there? If you're listening over here? No. So one thing I'd encourage you to do is think about where your eyes should be while you're listening to the sermon. Because, I mean, I get to see everybody up here. And I know sometimes eyes are up, sometimes they're down, sometimes they're over there, sometimes they're over there, sometimes they're pointing at the back. I'm not over there, I'm up here. And one of the ways you can come to Jesus for blessing on your life and ask him to forgive your sins and help you to live as a Christian and take you to heaven one day, one of the ways you can do that, one of the most important ways you can do that, is that when I or someone else is preaching up here, you look like you want to listen carefully. And you put your eyes on the preacher and you ask God to help you learn and understand and believe what the preacher is saying. That's one of the most important things you can do. And you can talk to your parents or you can talk to someone else for help with that. They might have some ideas about how they can help you with that, because it's hard. But as much as you can, as much as you're able, come to Jesus by listening carefully with your eyes on the preacher. That's a way that you can worship him. Okay, so now you know that you need to come to Jesus. You know why you need to come to him. You know how you can come to him. Let me just say one more thing to the kids, and then I have some words for others. Don't let anyone stop you from coming to Jesus. It's a sad truth about the world that we're in that people will try to stop you from coming to Jesus. That's what happened in the story here. The disciples, they were Jesus' helpers and friends. And they saw all the moms and dads bringing their children to Jesus. And they said, hang on. Jesus is a very important person. He's so important that he only has time for the most important people. And if you bring all these kids to him and he talks to them one by one, he'll never get to all the important things that God wants him to do. So back off and keep your children away. Little kids, have you ever felt like that? Maybe you have some friends who want you to keep away from Jesus. They don't want you to care about Jesus because they think it's weird. And they say, oh, don't worry about Jesus too much. Come have fun with us. Or maybe there are adults who will tell you, you know, you don't need to worry about Jesus. You're too young. In a few years, we'll help you know about Jesus. But right now, you just go play. Or there are maybe adults who will tell you, this is a really important question, but I'm too busy right now to talk to you about Jesus, so let's do this another time. And then they never get around to talking to you again about Jesus. Well, let me tell you, Jesus will never stop you from coming to him. And whatever other faults other adults or your friends might have, Jesus will never tell you that you're not important enough, that you don't matter, and he doesn't have time. And you'll find right from the earliest days of your life that Jesus is a wonderful person. He's really worth your time getting to know him. You'll never run out of things that you love about Jesus as you get to know him. You'll never get tired of him. He's so good. He's so strong. He's so wise. He's so kind. He's so amazing. that spending your whole life getting to know him will not be a disappointment to you. And the other thing about him is he's very welcoming. He wants you to come. He tells those disciples, you think you know what you're doing and what you're talking about. You get out of the way and you let those children come to me because I love them, even if you don't have time for them. So kids, even if other people sin by trying to keep you away from Jesus, don't ever think that Jesus wants to keep you away. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to love him, and he wants to love you. Now, some of you are older kids, maybe not quite kids anymore. And in your own way, I want you to hear this message. You're in high school or middle school. You're getting ready for college, maybe in a few years. Your whole life is ahead of you. There's all sorts of frustrations because the people in your life, they're either too young to understand you or too old to understand you. You can't have conversations with anyone because they think they know what you're talking about, but they really don't. You come to church, and it's the same way. The preacher keeps talking as if everybody in the church is 40 years old and is already set in their ways and in their life, and there doesn't seem to be much in the Bible for people like you, and you can't contribute much to church anyways because you're just a young person. You don't have much to say. You don't know much. You don't have much to give. You don't know how to do much of anything that'll be useful to the Lord. And so you are thinking, well, maybe Jesus is for really little kids and older people. But he's probably not that interested in me. I'm not cute and funny anymore, and I'm not yet really skilled and knowledgeable and impressive. Well, I want you to hear afresh this truth. Jesus wants to welcome you to him. He cares about you. He knows how to listen in a way that your parents even don't. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you're going through. And he wants you to live a life dedicated to him and full of his blessing. He wants to take you to heaven. He invites you. And Jesus is the most important thing in your life now, not just 10 years ago and not just 10 years from now, but right now, while you're trying to get into college and while you're trying to figure out what your future will look like and who you'll marry and what your job will be and finding your place in the world, right now, Jesus is the most important thing. All those other details can turn out in all sorts of unexpected ways, and your life can head in directions you never imagined. But if your life is bound up with Jesus Christ, you will be safe, and you will have eternal life at the end of it. And don't make the mistake when there's all these other decisions to make of getting the first and most important decision wrong. Don't get into the right school, don't get the right job or the right spouse and the right this and the right that, but forget to follow the right Savior. He cares deeply about you, far more than I do, sadly to say. Far more than your parents do, actually. Far more than even the best friends in your life care about you. He cares about you, and he wants you to have his blessing. So come to him still. And then I just want to say a quick word to the adults. This passage has a lot to say to the adults who are hearing. The first is, be glad. Because Jesus isn't just for the important people. You know, kids, you may not understand, but when your parents get older and get into life, they still have some of the same fears and worries that you have. They still see other people at work who are more talented and smarter than they are. They see other people in the neighborhood with nicer houses. They see other people at church with more important roles. And it's tempting to think, isn't it, adults, that Jesus is here for the really important people and our life doesn't add up to much. We don't have any significance. We don't have any meaning. In fact, it's almost the worst and most likely time in our lives that we'll think our life is meaningless when we're adults and the pressures of work and family responsibilities are weighing heavily on us. Well, hear this message. The significance and the value of your life does not come from what you can do for Jesus. The significance and value of your life is this, that God created you to live with him forever, and he sent his son to give you his saving blessing for free. So in whatever area of your life you feel that you're not able to measure up, it's true. And precisely the good news of this passage is that even though you don't measure up, your significance and value doesn't come from that. It comes from having the right person. People will do all sorts of crazy things to live a meaningful life. One of the craziest things they'll do is they will go to enormous lengths to attach themselves to important people. They'll throw away careers to work for some politician they think will be successful. They'll throw away all sorts of responsibilities to go work in Hollywood so they can rub shoulders with the stars. Or they'll stay at home and watch TV so they can, in a kind of fake way, be with those important people. I'm telling you, there's a person who's far more important than any of those people who invites you to find the true significance and value of your life in nothing other than this, that you belong to the best, the kindest, the strongest, the wisest, the most important, valuable, powerful person in all the universe. You're his. If you're a Christian, that's the real significance of your life. So be glad. And then be humble. Because there's no way to have Jesus' blessing other than the way that is available to the littlest child. That's what Jesus says to the disciples. Don't hold those kids back, because if you hold those kids back, you've got to hold everyone back. Don't think that those kids are any less impressive than you lot. You're all unimpressive to me. And the only way to enter the kingdom is to receive it like a child. So all those adults coming to Jesus with their gifts and their talents and maybe their money and their time and their knowledge or whatever else they thought they could contribute that would endear them to Jesus Christ, Jesus says, you be humble, because the only terms on which you gain my saving blessing are the very same terms that are open to the one who can do nothing to endear himself to me. That six-month-old child, that three-year-old who can just barely lisp my name, has the same right to enter my kingdom as you, no matter who you are. So be humble. Get rid of the confidence you put in yourself and receive the kingdom of God like a child. And then third, be very careful. Don't make the mistake these disciples made. Please don't. Don't make it in any way, shape, or form. Do not keep children away from Jesus. Don't keep children away from Jesus by your example. Don't set them an example of being indifferent about your responsibilities as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't keep them away from Jesus by flooding their lives with so many other good things that they have no time for the thing that's most important. Don't make them trade soccer practice for Jesus. Don't keep them from Jesus by telling them either explicitly or implicitly that they don't matter. Because whether or not you want them in the kingdom, Jesus wants them in the kingdom, and he doesn't look kindly on anyone keeping his children away from him. Be careful. And then finally, to all of us, see here the amazing character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a more unlikely scene? The one on whom all the hopes of Israel's royal future rests, the descendant of great kings, David and Solomon, and not only their descendant, but their creator, the firstborn, not only of kings on earth, but also of the earth itself. The very image of the invisible God, who alone by right can stand in God's presence as his son and see the full splendor of his glory, who is the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily with men. In a glory that puts the Herods and the Pilates and the presidents and prime ministers and kings of this world to a pale, embarrassing shame, that man takes little helpless children and shows unfathomable love to them, mercy to them, humility, kindness, and grace. That's the Savior we need, and it's the Savior we have. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask your help to receive the kingdom of God like a child. We pray for the children of our church that they will receive the kingdom of God, that you will use our efforts to serve them and minister to them, weak and imperfect as those efforts may be, yet sincere and trusting in the Lord. We pray that you will use them to bring your life-giving blessing to them. We pray that you will cause them to love you sincerely and to serve you wholeheartedly and to walk in this life so that in the life to come they may live forever. We ask also that you'll forgive our faults and weaknesses in so often being like these disciples who tried to keep children away from Jesus. We pray that we'll be more like our Savior, who in the splendor of his glory revealed his loving humility, who by his condescension to dwell as a man among men, to live and die for our sake, he has brought us to the exaltation of true and lasting life. We ask this in his name. Amen.